I believe that God wants to touch us in a way that would lift us up. You know, it's amazing sometimes how you have to go down and blast before you can build. Is that not right? Before you can ever go up, you've got to have a sure foundation. And that's what I want, don't you? I want to be founded upon the rock of ages. I want some convictions that are solid, that are wrapped around the rock of ages. That way when I go up and the storms of life begin to come, they won't waver. Somebody say amen. I want something that's going to be solid when troubles come. And how many knows that troubles are here? Come on now. I said troubles are here and I want to be solid, don't you? Say, God help us to be solid. God help us. Oh, Lord. I was sitting back there thinking, do you know that God has power to make bad people good? So many times we concentrate on these people that are fallen. And it breaks my heart to watch folks go out from among us, and I know it does yours too. But every once in a while, there's an alcoholic out there that comes into the house of the Lord, and the power of God begins to move and pulls him to an old-fashioned altar. And when he gets up, he's no longer an alcoholic needing AA. He's set for the defense of the gospel, walking the streets, preaching the gospel to all those that will listen. Somebody say amen. How many say that God's got power to make a bad man good? Yeah. Praise God, I feel the Lord here. Hallelujah. I said He's got power to make a bad man good. I'll tell this on myself here. I used to run with the hippie people. I wore hippie beads and bell bottoms and the whole nine yards. Pulled knives on my dad. I used to stay up 9-10 days at a time on crank and cocaine. Without sleeping. And when I got saved, I wore sandals to church and everybody made fun of me. I didn't know how you're supposed to dress. I didn't know how you're supposed to look. But I can stand and testify that God's got power to make a bad man good. You believe that? I believe that God can take a drug addict and turn him around and make a holiness preacher out of him. You believe that? I believe God can take a man that beats his wife and to make the best husband ever been. You believe that? I believe God can take an old rebellious looking woman and touch her and make the best submissive wife ever was. You believe that? Amen. I don't know about you, but there's still power in that blood. I said it's not lost 1 ounce of its power. I said upon the cross in the Jesus' weakest moment, in the Lord's weakest moment, He looked over at a man that was a thief that was deserving of his punishment and said, today you'll be with me. What he said was, on one instance, I'm going to change your heart, sir. I don't know how God does it to you. Praise God, I'm about to feel like preaching here. One preacher said, I don't know how a black and white cow makes white milk and makes yellow butter. But he does. I don't know how the Lord takes red blood, touches a black heart, and makes it white as snow. But he does. Anybody ever felt that power before? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ to turn anybody around that'll fall underneath the crimson flood. I said, He can turn you around, sir. He can do yours. I turn in and give it an unction from the Holy Ghost and give you stammering lips and let you speak with cloven tongues as a fire. Hey, somebody say amen to the preacher. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yeah, I read a little story. I'm going to go on here, but I read a little story about this woman. I had this on my mind a couple of days. Just let me get off my heart and I'll go on. I didn't get to say nothing last night, so I'm getting it all out tonight. There's a story about this preacher who moved into town. He moved in, didn't know nothing about the history of his church people. All he knew was he had a good member in his church, and the man worked and done what he was supposed to do. And the lady was one of the best ladies in the church, praying lady, and one day he wanted help. He went over house. He said, "Sister B, I need you to tell me. I want you to help me with my sermon. I need some information from an outsider, somebody that can help me." She said, "What do you need me to do?" He said, "I can sew, I can cook, I can send food over on the mission field. What do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to tell me, does God have the power to make a bad man good?" She said, I can't explain. I don't know." She said, "I got saved when I was 9 years old, and I've never had to deal with that. I needed saved like anybody," she said, "but I've never cussed. I've never had my fingers in a bowling ball. I've never smoked a cigarette or cussed." And she said, "but you can ask my husband, and he can tell you all about it." He came in there and said, "What do you need? What do you need, honey?" He said, "This preacher's wanting our help. Said, we need to know if God has the power to make a bad man good." Said that guy, big tears started welling up in his eyes, and he looked at his wife and he said, "Honey," he said, "do you remember, see that scar on the back of your neck?" He said, "Yeah." Said, "do you remember what happened?" She said, "Yeah, that's when you took that stick and hit me when you came in drunk, and I had to get stitches." She said, "but I forgive you for that, John. We don't have to talk about that no more." He said he pulled up her skirt up to her calf and showed a big scar where she'd had stitches from where he'd kicked her and she'd fell down the hill. Said, "do you remember when I'd done that?" He said, "yeah." Said he took and he rolled her shirt sleeve up to where he'd broke her arm by whipping her. And said, "but I told you I forgave you for all that, John. You don't have to bring all this up." And then he called in one of the young boys and he called him in there and said, "Johnny, little Johnny," said, "do you remember when I used to beat you and your mama?" And he said, "yeah, I remember." He said, "but Daddy, you ain't whipped us in 5 years like that." He said, "ever since you stumbled into that old-fashioned tent meeting." He said, "Daddy, you ain't whipped me out of order in 5 years." He said, "you remember when I used to lay on the streets as a bum and drink?" She said, "yeah, I remember." He said, "but now I have houses in two or three different states, places we go. I have a big fine home, a library, all because I stumbled into that meeting." They said tears started welling up in the old man's eyes as he looked over. And he looked at his wife and he said, "wife, how long's it been since I hit you?" She said, "since you stumbled into that old-fashioned tent meeting that preacher put up." Said, "Johnny, how long's it been since I hit you?" Said, "Daddy, about 5 years. Since you stumbled into that old-fashioned tent meeting. You ain't never hit us." Said tears running down the man's eyes. He looked at the preacher. He said, "preacher, you go tell this world that God still has the power to make a bad man good. You remember when you used to cuss and drink and go on? How many remember it? You remember when you used to not be all that you are now? When you used to not dress the way you dress? Come on now. You remember when you used to not shout and run in the house of the Lord, but you talked about the wholeness bunch? I feel the Lord here." I said, "I feel the Holy Ghost." Hey, some of you wives are already be on your feet with both hands lifted thanking the Lord that God's got power to take that old husband and make something out of him where he used to cuss you. He used to lay out and spend your money now. Come on now. Now he gives 10% to the Lord instead of to the devil. Somebody say praise God. Lift your hands. Stand with me all over the building. Stand with me all over the building. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, how many knows there's power? There is so much power. Wonder working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Boy, I tell you what, I feel good tonight. Do you? I feel good. That one song, I don't know. I'm from the hills of Kentucky. Sometimes you got to look over us. We do strange things. But we sing a song that says, "I feel good, good, good. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good." It said, "I went down to the river to pray. And I got so happy that I stayed all day. Every time I think about Jesus." It's amazing when I think about, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. It's amazing when I think about what I used to be and what I am now. I ain't always walked into the sanctuary with a suit and tie on. I ain't always walked in with a decent haircut. Somebody say amen. But there was a time when I was a drunkard. Come on now. There was a time when I was used to shoot up with needles. I didn't know how I made it home at night. I was 18 years old and didn't know how I drove from one point to point, from point A to point B. But I can tell you, last night I knew everything I'd done. I know where I went. I know who I talked to. And I know where I was at last night. And I had more of a high than I ever felt. When I was out there in the world, somebody help me while I preach. I like to let the world know that God still has power. It don't matter what the devil says. He can't do nothing with the power of God. How to change a man's heart. And to change a man's testimony. And to change what he is. I said he can't do nothing about it. I said he just can't do nothing about it. He'd like to stop us if he could. But how many knows he couldn't do nothing about it? When we knelt at that old-fashioned altar, we went down an old rotten sinner, but we came up. We didn't come up a rotten sinner. We come up a bad man that was being made good. We come up somebody that was different. We didn't feel comfortable cussing no more. Feel comfortable cussing no more, did we? I didn't feel comfortable going to the movies no more. I didn't even feel comfortable bringing the movies home to me. Somebody say amen. I lost half of you though, didn't I? I don't go, but I bring them to me. Lord, where'd that come from? But God's got power to deliver you from that too. Somebody say amen. I said there's still power, wonder-working power. Why in the world would a man that used to run the roads want to be at church on Friday night? I tell you why, because there's still a man by the name of Jesus Christ that's got power. Somebody say he's got power to make bad people good. I know we ain't all that we need to be, but we ain't what we used to be. We're now the righteous of the Lord. Somebody said we're not righteous. Oh, yes, we are. If we ain't righteous, we better quit and fold up the guns and go home. Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Lord, help me here. I ain't just no sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint. Somebody say amen. I said, you're either a saint or you ain't. There ain't no in between. You either got it or you don't got it. You either been changed or you ain't been changed. Somebody help me while I preach. I feel the presence of the Lord. And he only comes to those that's been changed from bad to good. Lift your hands all over the building. Lord God, can you feel the Spirit of the Lord here? You know, when he comes in the midst of a people that have been changed from bad to good. No, ma'am, we didn't change ourselves. We didn't turn over a new leaf. We got born again. And that old Adam nature was took out of us. And there was put in a new heart. A sanctified heart. A heart that liked to come to church during revival. Come on now. A heart that liked to pray in the morning. A heart that liked to pray in the midday. A heart that liked to pray at night. A heart that likes to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He changed us, sir. It wasn't our own doings. It was the work of Calvary. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight, Lord. I didn't plan on preaching this, but I guess I'll just go ahead with it. Oh, yeah. There was three facets of the cross. The cross now is something that we put on our... you can sit down here if you want to sit down. I'm going to go ahead and preach. The cross is something that we now wear around our neck. And we look at it as just a symbol or a token. But can I tell you that there is more than that that happens at the cross? For it's at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my soul rolled away. It was at the cross, sirs, where Jesus was at his weakest point. But yet at his weakest point, he still had power to make a bad man good, didn't he? I said as he was up on that cross and all of his strength was literally leaving his body, and it looked like the Prince of Peace was crucified, and that all power had been taken away from him. All of an instance, that spirit rose up in him. That same spirit that was about to raise him up from the dead also was about to change a man and make him from being old bad thief to making him qualified for the kingdom of God. Let somebody help me while I preach. I don't know about you, but I feel like preaching tonight. I wish somebody help me while I try. Oh yes, there's still power. It's been over 2,000 years since the Lord was nailed to that cross, but how many knows that it's not lost 1 ounce of its power to make a bad man good? Lord God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. The first thing was, he was the preacher on the cross, wasn't he? He preached the first message to ever change a man's heart. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And that's always the first step, sir, to being changed. It's giving yourself over wholly, completely, and entirely to the Lord. That's the message you can't get around tonight, sir. Hey, these folks have been trying to get around this message for years. Give yourself completely to the Lord. Oh, but that's the only way that you can be completely changed from bad to good. That's when you're willing to say, God, into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. I'm tired of this oak, my God in heaven. I'm tired of this old sinful nature. I'm ready to be changed. Oh, yeah, he was the preacher on the cross, although he had a funny-looking pulpit. And he wasn't only the preacher on the cross. He was the great high priest. And the high priest, on the inside of the city, they were sitting there making their sacrifices that they'd done year after year. But it never changed anybody. Somebody say amen. They killed thousands of doves, thousands of goats, and they let loose thousands of rams, literally, as an escape goat into the wilderness. But how many knows that that did not change one Pharisee's heart? But outside the city in a place called Golgotha, there was a man, the great high priest, that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was nailed to that cross, and as he was nailed there, how the blood began to flow from his hands and flow from his back and from his feet. And that blood is still the same blood that changed that man on the cross. I wish somebody help me while I preach. I feel the presence of the Lord trying to preach me tonight. I believe that there's power in the priest. I believe there's power in the preacher. And not this preacher, but the preacher of preachers. The Lord Jesus Christ. To make bad people good. Somebody say man. Oh, yes. Their sacrifice was doing nothing for them. Oh, Lord. Lord God, but this one man's sacrifice was about to change the course of history forever. Oh, Lord. Oh, when he went up there and that blood was shed, it was not spilt, sir. It was shed. It was shed for a purpose. And there was not one drop of it fell in vain. It was falling to make bad men good. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. I wish I could get this out like I need to. I don't even know if nobody's here lost or not. But I sure feel an unction to talk to us. I bet there's still power in the Lord to make a bad man good. Preacher and the prince. They thought that they had diminished his power. They thought that they had stripped him of all of his ability to change people. For that's what he done all through his life, was change people. That was his ministry, changing lives, going where there was no hope and putting hope, going to where things were dark and bringing his candlestick and bringing light to them. Somebody say amen. And this is what he specialized in, that upon the cross they thought that they had taken him and they thought that they had diminished his power, that he was so weak that he could not do it. But I still see the look as something rises up in him and he speaks over to a man and changes him. In what instance do you see this now? As we see this thief being transformed as a candidate for hell, now he's a candidate for the paradise of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I remember one night I knelt down in front of an old-fashioned altar. Yes, in an old-fashioned church, and I knelt my heart there. And when I knelt down, sir, it was just, I didn't know exactly everything that would take place. I was waiting for a great wind to come and shake me, for I was raised where they slung their bobby pins and I banged their head on the wall and rolled in the floor. You know what I'm talking about. I was waiting for that type of an experience to come to me. But that was not the experience of the Lord I was going to give me at that time. For when I knelt down at the old-fashioned altar, I prayed for 2.5 hours. I did not know what to expect. I didn't know what I was looking for. All I knew was I was tired of this old nature of sinning that was in my life. I was looking for change. Let somebody lift up a hand and say amen. I was looking for a change, sir. I knew that something had to be different than the way it's been going for years. And that night I knelt down. When I stood up, I didn't know a great big change. I didn't know that they always told me that everything's going to look different. I thought I was going to stand up and the butterflies was going to be landing on my shoulder. I thought, they was going to put clouds out and I was going to walk on them. But that wasn't exactly what happened, Brother Mike. I stood up that night as I began to lift my foot to walk back to my seat. As I began to walk back through there, I turned around, and when I turned around, I lifted up my foot. And when I did, It felt like somebody took 1,000 pounds and lifted up off of me. I still didn't run, shout, jump, or do flip-flops. No, I didn't. But the next time I went to the grocery store, I said I had an old 70 CJ7 78 model Jeep. I thought I was real cool. You know how they do. I was one of them. Hippie beads and bell bottoms. I thought I was the coolest man on the block. Some of you got saved and still feel that way. I thought I was the coolest man on the block. And you know what happened? I went to Kroger's that day, and I jumped out of my old 87 Jeep or 84, whatever it was, CJ7, and I had a pair of shorts on. Come on up here now. And lo and behold, here went a church woman into Kroger's. I jumped out of that old Jeep and went to pulling on my shorts. Somebody say amen. I said, these ain't long enough. I'm going to have to put something on the end of them. Somebody say amen. And I went home and I threw them in the garbage. And I knew something had happened. I said, I knew something had happened. Lord God, I feel like preaching tonight. I sat down. Come on now. Cuss is just a part of my vocabulary. Tell you something, you ain't cussing and being saved at the same time. Because when he really touches you, you know what you say when you do that? That God really don't have power to take that out of me. Help me while I preach. I didn't want to cuss. I didn't have no desire to cuss. But just one time, I was just talking, it come out. I wasn't mad or nothing. You know how I changed? Because I felt something touch me right in my heart, Brother Mike. And I jumped up and I found my altar. And I said, I can't cuss and be saved. I can't keep cussing and be a part of the church. I've got to get cleaned up. You can't smoke and speak in tongues. You can't talk mean to your wife and speak in tongues, sir. You can't kick the door and shout and bang your head against the wall on the same night. Because when you get it right, He'll make you good. You might mess up, but when you do, He'll find you a place to fall down and say, oh, God. This ain't even in my heart no more, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. This ain't even in my heart. Lord, help me here. Help me while I preach. When He changes you, when He really changes you, you don't feel comfortable going where you used to go. Somebody said, I can't live it. Oh, yes, you can. All you need is that change. Somebody said, I can't live it. I can't do it like you. Oh, yes, you can. Only difference between me and you is we've been to that place called Golgotha and we've been changed from bad to good. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. I'm saved and I still wear my shorts. If you really get it, you won't feel comfortable with that. Oh, help me while I preach. You won't only feel funny with shorts that come up. You'll feel funny with a split that comes up and shows the same thing shorts do. Yeah, I don't wear no shorts. I don't feel comfortable with it. But you're revealing the same thing with that split you've got, young lady. Now, you don't like this type of preaching, do you? I can already tell. I'm losing some of you. I better get back up here where I can't see your face. I said some of you've been changed, but you're drawing back. It used to bother you, now it don't. Help me while I preach, Mama. It bothered you, but now Susie's old enough, we ain't going to say nothing. It bothered you, Grandma, but now the Junior's old enough, let's just don't touch that issue, preacher. Let me tell you something, Mama. Let me tell you something, Papa. If Susie and Junior gets it right, they'll want to preach just like they preached it to you. They'll say, preach it, preacher, I've been changed. Changed people don't get mad at holiness preaching, Brother Mike. Come on up here, brother. I said, saved people don't get mad at holiness preaching. You know what they do? They go home and lay it down. They say, because I've got something in my heart. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed. We got a bunch now that they'll leave church every time you preach on them. They'll not show up for 2 weeks. I knew you was throwing that at me. No, I wouldn't. You just got in between me and the devil. I was throwing it at him. Step aside. Let me hit my target. This is what kind of preaching we need. You know it?
I said, we need to get back to where we got to change heart. We got to change appearance. We got to change mouth. We got to change attitude. We got to get back to where we've been made from bad to good. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight, Lord God. Lift your hands. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. When you get it right, you won't wear it on your finger. And you won't wear it in your nose either. And you won't put it through your tongue. And in your ears. And on your toes. And around your ankles. When you get it right, you say no gold. Somebody say amen. That's the proper way to preach it. Just without it. That's when you know. And I've been changed. I've been changed. I'm willing to lay down anything, Lord. Just point me in the direction, Lord. And I'm willing to give it up. Somebody lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm willing. Just point me in the direction, Lord. I'm willing. Praise God. Somebody say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to give it up. Listen, don't fall out with me. I've been preaching on the road 3 years now, and I know that ain't very long. But I've seen things in our people. I've been preaching longer than that, but I've been going across this country night after night, week after week for 3 years. And stuff we call wholeness now, even when I started 3 years ago, we wouldn't have let it on the pulpit. And now we stand beside it and pat it on the back and say, she's trying. If she was really trying, she'd lay it down. If she was really trying, she'd give it up. On up here now. But maybe, you know, I know it takes for me, it may not take that for everybody. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching them the night. Yeah, I just don't believe that. You would if you ever got changed just right. It's amazing to me. I'm not mean at all. That's amazing, Brother Mike, that that's what I see. And this is the first time I've ever been here, so this ain't you all. Maybe if it is, it is. But I don't know you, so. But it's amazing how that once we get changed, we slowly slip back into the state from where we come from. Do you remember when you first got saved? You wouldn't hardly do anything, would you? And now, I don't feel no conviction. The Lord's not condemning me. If the Lord condemns me, then I'll give it up. I don't feel nothing in my heart. Well, the Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things. You can't trust your heart, sir. Your heart will lie to you. What you'd better do is trust the word of the Lord that said this is the way it is. But I don't feel it. It's not a feeling. It's obedience. And when you get changed, you'll say, Lord, I want to follow you. You lead me wherever we got to go. I'll follow, Lord. Feel something here. But you know what happens when the wholeness preacher gets up? Something right here starts raising up in us. And we say, I don't want to hear that. We don't need that kind of preaching. Sure we don't. You watch how far backwards we go without it. Don't mention that from the pulpit, preacher. When the pulpit don't preach from it, the pew don't preach from it. When we don't mention it, you don't mention it. But when the pulpit stands up and preaches against it, the congregation gets stirred up and they start talking and saying, maybe, just maybe the preacher's preaching right. We need to preach on it, don't we? We need to mention it, don't we? We need to tell you to give it up. We need to tell you to lay it down. Well, I'll go to another church. See you later. You ain't got it no way. Jesus rather have 12 that was real than thousands that were fake. No, we don't want you to leave. It's the will of the Lord that the house of God is full. But if you ain't going to do nothing but cause us trouble because you ain't never got that rebellious nature under subjection yet, we just soon you hit the door. Because you're going to scatter more than you're going to bring in anyways. Is that right? I mean, I'd rather get rid of one that's going to destroy the whole bunch. Now, we don't want to get rid of none of you. What we're preaching for is for you to get under the blood of Jesus and get that heart changed. Where you say, that's exactly right, preacher. That's the way I believe it too. Somebody lift up a hand and say, I believe it. Well, I tell you what, I believe it. If my God, help me while I preach. Somebody said, we don't need that. Yes, we do. That's the kind of preaching that'll set you free. You know what sets you free, old buddy? Had a good godly preacher got up and mentioned it. And you know what he done? He went home with a good attitude. And he come back, come on now, with that which the preacher preached changed. Lord God, I feel the power of the Lord. God help me here. Lord God. Don't preach on it. Listen. Do you know what sets a woman free from her makeup? When the preacher says, sister, you could do more for God without that. Sir, you could be a better influence for the Lord if you'd give that up. Somebody help me preach. I went to Bond Holiness Church. They probably had the name for being the meanest church in this country. I mean, I went to a worldly church. You're talking about worldly. I know y'all, my lingo's a little different, but it's worldly. And I mean, it wasn't like y'all. I know y'all. You can say you guys or y'all. Y'all. It wasn't like y'all. I look at you and I know. I can tell. I'm not foolish. But I come out of one, Brother Mike, that where they... I'm in Columbus. Woo, I better watch that. Rod Parsley might be down here. Help me while I preach. I went in there, Brother Mike. I went to a church somewhere in the United States of America. I mean, they had big green ear bobs on. Big green. It was a sight to see. They had a big curtain rolled up. It looked like a, I don't know what it looked like. And they started playing one of those, that song, Celebrate Good Times, Come On. 8,000 people in one building that I was in and 5,000 people in another building that was watching it on screen. And I sat there, as I sat there, that curtain started rolling up and this cool man, the best I know how to put it, he come popping out from underneath the curtain. He's lifting his hands. I
I said, what in the name of the Lord is this joker doing? Well, Cool and the Gang went off. And the next thing was the synthesizer came on. And it was Van Halen's song, Jump. I've been changed from that garbage. I don't listen to it in my car. I don't put CDs in. I don't listen to it at home. And I sure ain't going to listen to it at a so-called church. And what made it so bad was Johnny Gabbert's got the meanest name in the country if you don't know him. I mean, they talk about him like he is just some kind of animal. And down there where we live, they said, don't you go down there. You don't go to that church. They'll be mean to you. You go down there and they're going to run you off. Well, just being as ornery as I could, being from the mountains and the hills of Kentucky, I had to go see what they're talking about. Well, what it was, we started living right in the worldly church. We had some sleeves on. We threw out our TVs, VCRs, in the worldly church with nobody preaching to us. And we can't preach to some of our people and get rid of them. I got to praying. God got to deal with me, Brother Mike. I got to getting rid of myself up. And old Brother Gabbert found out. He said, you tell them two boys up there, if they like holiness, to come down here and I'm going to ruin them. Well, that's a challenge to me. I wore gold-rimmed glasses. I didn't know what they believed. I thought they preached on wearing glasses. I mean, anybody that strict can't wear glasses. I even told him, Brother Mike, I said, if I was ever that strict, I'd get me a seeing eye dog. I wouldn't wear no glasses. So I had some gold-rimmed glasses. And I got glasses. Don't fall out with me. But I took them off to go to church. And the church is about this size, and I sat on the back pew. And my best friend and him and his wife went with us. And she was sitting there and she was fixing her hair because she knew they didn't cut it. So she was trying to fix it where it didn't look like it's cut so we could fit in. And I took off my gold-rimmed glasses so we could fit in. I sat back there. I was about half scared to death. You ain't supposed to be scared when you go to church, are you? I was about half scared to death. One man said, I was scared. I sat back there that night, and as I sat back there, they sung their songs. They went and shouted and done their stuff. I said, well, they're really getting in. We've made it this one. We didn't even get skinned. All of a sudden, Brother Gary said, shut it down. I've got to preach. I thought, oh, boy, we're about to get it right here. I said, well, at least I can't see his face, and I won't know what he's looking at. He made it real easy, brother. He said, excuse me, Bond, I've got to preach to these three in the back. He walked right back there where I was, about 10 foot, and I can see close up. I can't see far off, so he got close. He said, excuse me, Bond, let me preach to this three right here. He got to preaching, Brother Mike, and he got to preaching, and he got to preaching. And he kept preaching, and he kept naming stuff, and he kept preaching on me, and he kept preaching on that girl. He kept preaching on my buddy. And I won't lie to you, there's something in here that said, who in the world does he think he is? I could feel that old spirit rising up in me. You felt it too. Don't act, take your halo off a minute. When the preacher come down on you and your children, you felt it. He got to preaching on us, and I got thinking, who in the world does he think he is? He said he made this statement, and it stuck in my heart, and it wasn't even my wife, but he said, young lady, I hate to be mean to you, But if you cut your hair, there's a chance you'll go to hell. So when he said that, something stuck me right in the heart. I said, who in the world is this guy telling her? We walked out of church that night, and when we walked out, I said, okay, Leslie, what'd you think? She looked over at her husband. She said, I tell you exactly what I think. She said, I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a preacher that's got a backbone to tell us how to live, where we ought to go, how we ought to dress.
Got to studying, and guess what, Brother Mike? Everything I found lined me right back up with the things the preacher was saying. I said, well, if I'll read it. If I can't read it, then I'll just leave it alone. But guess what? It was all right there. And then I went to this church. It was somewhere in the United States of America. And I saw them locking arms in white suits, men in white suits locking arms. And they was doing like they was doing the, I don't know what it was. I never seen nothing like that. And I sat there, Brother Mike, and something spoke to me. Something spoke to my heart and said, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. The preacher put me in a place where I had to decide which side of the fence I was going to get on. When I got to reading the Bible, you know what side it put me on? It put me on the holiness side. It put me with the bunch that lived strict. It put me with the bunch that didn't go to the movies. Come on, help me while I preach. I said, oh yes, it bothered me for a little while, but I didn't feel comfortable doing the things I used to do. And after the preacher preached on me, I laid it down. You know why? Because there was a change in my heart. Lord, help me. There's still power to make bad people good. You say, I don't believe that. You'd better believe it. Because I'd still be playing organized softball. I wouldn't be evangelizing tonight if a preacher hadn't stood up and told me how I ought to do. And I'd lay it down. That's exactly why I'm where I am tonight. And you're there because a preacher preached on you and said, good people don't go there. Good people don't act that way. Good people don't dress that way. Good people don't talk like that. And that's why we're here tonight. Oh, Lord. And then the argument, man, I'm feeling the Lord here. Then the argument I heard was, well, you can't preach like that because nobody gets saved. You'll run everybody off. You ain't left yet. Hey, some of you wanting to, but I'll keep about 95% of you. Somebody say amen. I'm telling this and I'm closing. This all just shooting from the hip. You know what that is, don't you? We was at a church up home, and at that church I went to after they'd kicked me out of the worldly church for preaching wholeness. I mean, I got to preaching on smoking, and I had 37 kids in my youth group, and got to preaching on smoking. Well, it was all right for Junior, but when Junior got in the car with Mama, and Mama and Junior started down the road, Mama started to fire one up. And Junior said, Mama, Brother Craig said you'd go to hell for that. Mama said, what? Mama called the pastor, and the pastor called me. And then they had a meeting with me, Brother Jerry. And they said, if you're going to preach that stuff, you're going to have to find you somewhere else to go. And I said, see you later. You ain't going to tell me how to preach. If I can't preach it like the Bible says it, I don't want to preach for you at all. Somebody say amen. I said, when you get changed, you'll love God's way of living. When you get changed, you'll love holiness. When you get changed, you'll love sanctified living. When you get saved and you get changed, you'll love the holiness preacher. You'll love the holiness church. You'll love the holiness people. kicked me out, so I ended up at this other church for 3 months. And when I went there, you ever seen people that always, everybody's got a devil? No, I don't mean everybody in the church got a devil. I mean, everybody in the church sees the devil in everybody else. I mean, devil chasers. I don't believe in some of this stuff, but I mean, if just because you smoke a cigarette don't mean you got a devil. You need deliverance. Come on now, that's right. You just need help from the Lord. It don't mean that you're wicked. I mean, you just need help. I mean, this church, everybody had a devil. And out of people for parting their hair on the side, and he's casting the devil out of people for this, that, and that. I mean, it's weird to me, but that's the only place I knew to go. So, Brother Mike, one night, I'm telling this, and I'm bringing this to a close to be serious here. Brother Mike, I was up there preaching one night, and after I got done preaching, I was walking the pulpit there, and I love those folks. They're my friends, but they found devils in everybody. I mean, everybody had a devil. And I saw this, the door was right here, it was the storefront church, and I saw this pitiful lady walk in with an old ragged skirt on and her clothes all dirty, and her husband walked in behind her. And he said that her husband said she's been in the corner for 3 months. Said she's been sitting in the corner, balled up in a ball, rocking. And said she eats just enough to live. He said, I've come because she's got to have some help. Well, I didn't know. I was up there prancing back and forth on the pulpit, feeling pretty good. And here this bunch is, this pitiful young girl has knelt down at the altar. And here goes my bunch. She's got a devil. Well, I didn't know if she had a devil or not. Everybody had come in the last 3 weeks had a devil. I didn't know. She got a devil. She's got a devil. Well, finally they got down there wrestling that young girl, Brother Mike, and as they wrestled her, I watched it and I took all I could take of it. I walked down in front of her. She was laying there. They'd give her a break for a minute. And I got down in front of her, and I knelt down. I said, see us. And when I knelt down, she looked at me, Brother Mike, with eyes as red as that American flag stripes. They were glowing red. I stood up, and I said, she's got a devil. That girl, I watched her eyes turn from bright red to lime green. To black, back to red, to a clear color. She is standing back from here to the table there, and she said, I know you. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I used to have you. You used to do what I wanted. I wasn't feeling the Lord really a great lot. I didn't want to cast no devil out. I didn't feel it. But when she said that, something rose up on the inside of me. And I said, you hold it 1 minute. I said, you might have used to had me. You might have used to told me what to do. Been changed. I watched her eyes continue to change colors. And I walked over in the corner, and as I walked over there, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I've chose you tonight. I'm going to use you. Brother Mike, as I stood there, all the people just seemed to open up. And she pointed her finger at me. And the Holy Ghost come on me, and we prayed for that girl 2.5 hours. We cast 13 devils out of her. We prayed and wrestled and prayed. On the last one, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me good. On the very last one, as she lay there, she'd try to fool us on some of them. And she'd act like she was delivered when she wouldn't. But on the very last one, I watched her body as she just went limp and hit the ground. And she looked up, big tears running down her eyes, and she looked at me, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "thank you." Well, guess what? I went about 3 months after that. I walked into church, and guess who was playing the bass? I looked over there and I said, that old girl walked in, devil possessed, had a bass guitar around her neck playing for the Lord. I walked in, she had the biggest grin you ever seen on her face, Brother Mike, and she'd lift her hands every once in a while and said, "My Lord and my God, I feel the Holy Ghost." I said, "There's still power, church. I said, there's still power to make bad people good." I don't know if she's still serving the Lord, but I know from that point on that the Lord had changed her and changed her heart. I tell you what I feel like tonight. I feel like somebody's in here that needs a change of heart. You need a change of heart. Say, "I'm saved." Well, I'm the world mad at the preacher. Come on now. "I'm saved, sir." Well, why in the world do you still go to the places you used to go? "I'm saved, preacher." Well, why in the world do you still dress the way you always dress? I'll tell you why. Because you've never been to that place where you truly submitted yourself to God and said, "Lord, here I am. I'm giving you everything tonight. Lord, take what you want. I'm ready to be changed." There's some young people in here right now that still need that complete change. Mike, I don't mean to go long here. You know why we can't get it off you? We've preached on you. We've talked to you. We've taught you in Sunday school that you don't need to wear that. You don't need to go there. But we can't do nothing with them, Brother Mike. You know what the bottom line comes down to? It, Lord, I give you everything. I come to you, Lord, giving you all of me. And that's at the point, you listen to me, I'm closing. That's at the point when you won't feel comfortable doing those things. You hear me, young man? Mama can talk to you, she can tie you up and put you in your room, but we can't legislate this. You've got to be changed. We can put the rule book out there, this step, that step, this formula, and Benny Hinn and the rest of the blowers have got it. They've got seminars on how this goes and that, and they fixed it up. But the bottom line is that we must be changed. We've got formulas, we've got it fixed up, but church, we must be changed. Hey, some of you, listen, I'm closing with this. Hey, some of you in here right now have been changed. That you're falling back slowly into the state from which you come. And I felt like that's the reason the Lord sent me by these few nights. It's to warn you and let you know that there's some of you slipping from that you had. And you're slowly going back to being what you was. Brother Mike, I was trying to keep this in. But I've got to tell you, after the way the Holy Ghost spoke last night, and after the way the pastor stood up, hey, somebody in here that is going backward on their convictions. They're going backward on their prayer. They're going backward on their commitments to God. And I feel like telling you, better straighten it up. Somebody in here is going to lose that with God. God has touched you and changed you. But will you go back into the bondages which you was once set free from? Lord God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Somebody in this congregation's in danger of losing out with God.
in the next little bit. You've been changed. Yes, you have. But what you're in need of right now, you're in need of God to touch you and change you back into that first being and do your first works over. I'm telling somebody in the house tonight needs to do their first works over and go back to that place where they was first changed. Lift your hands, church. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I feel like somebody's in trouble. Somebody's in danger of losing the goodness that God gave them. What about it, young ladies? What about you? Is everything the same? Have you got the fire you once had? That goodness that God gives you, is it still there? I'm afraid somebody in here is a losing out with God. Somebody's losing out with God. I don't feel the same as I used to about it, preacher. Listen, ma'am, if you ever made a vow and you went back on it in 10 years or 15 years, you used not do it, and tonight you're doing it, you're in danger of losing out with God. Sadeville Church of God, there's power in here right now to make us back into a new creature if we want it. There's still power. What about it, young man? We've told you not to go, but you'd still go. We've told you not to worry, but you still worry. You know what you're in need of tonight? You're in need of the touch of the man that's on the cross, that's still got power to make bad people good and to change the way you feel. Listen, Shadeville, if I know anything, I know the Spirit of the Lord when He moves. And right now, there's an urgency among this church. If you listen to me, I've been burdened down for the last couple of days since I've been here. There's an urgency about this, that the Lord's fixing to come back, and some of you are asleep in Zion, and that God once delivered unto you, you've let it slip off, and you've quit your praying, you've quit your reading, you're not doing like you used to do, and there's an urgency among us, that we'd better get a hold of God in these last days, and take hold of the horns of the altar, and say, oh God, I don't want to lose out now. Somebody else, you feel like coming, come on. And some of you need to be getting up right now. The Holy Ghost is a-moving. The Spirit of the Lord's in this place. And God's a-talking to us. God's a-warning us. We'd better fix it. I don't care how long you've been saved, ma'am. We got to fix it tonight. We better fix it tonight. There's power to give us back our desire to pray. There's power to give us back our desire for holiness. There's power to give you what you're in need of tonight, sir.
To break and mold my life.
I'm making making a new commitment right now, Lord.
To say change me.
I'm making a fresh commitment,
because
God.
It's harder to do. So change me, Lord. Change me, Lord.
I know you got power, Lord.
Let me stay the same. Lord, I've got to be more like you. So take my life, Lord, make my life, make it all that you want it to be. Oh, Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Lord, I'll have to say I'm not satisfied this way.